there's seldom a dull moment in entertainment in our region. Many talented people, many entertainment venues, many places to enjoy music and theater and more. And once a month, Josh Gross drops by from the Rogue Messenger, where he's the music editor, for the segment we call the Rogue Sounds, a perusal of musical activity in the region over the coming month. Josh, we always look forward to your visits. Good to have you back.
Well, thanks. I always look forward to coming down here.
So February, a dead of winter, that sort of thing. I mean, does the music scene ever really show much of a lull over the course of the year?
Yeah, in February, January, February, really, usually.
This is it.
Well, no, I mean, like, there's, you know, the famous Buddy Holly incident. People are a little skeptical about touring in the winter because it's more dangerous, especially because a lot of touring ends up being extended campouts. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's a way to save money when you're, like, just starting out if you can't afford hotel rooms. So people tend to cut out for December and January. February, they tend to sort of maybe start to come back, but it's always a little bit slow, especially here in the Valley where a lot of businesses, restaurants just shut down for the month of January altogether to do like their big annual kitchen cleaning.
So
a lot of people are just like, they're out and people are checked out. But I actually think it can be one of the better times because the people that come are, one, really committed, and two, it's usually the only thing happening in town on a particular night. So if it's a place is open, that's the place that's packed, and you know it's going to be really jump and show. You know what I mean?
There actually is some nightlife.
Yeah, there's a strange nightlife because it's people are finally like, oh, look at that. I can only go to one place, so I guess we're all going there or something to that effect, you know?
So let's hear from, was it Young in the City?
Young in the City. I love these guys.
Now the streets are lit up with your voices, planting the seeds of divorces. Wild horses couldn't drag you away.
Well, that was interesting. I thought we were going to get into something gritty and shouting, and instead we got to a real lovely kind of filled-out sound.
These guys got a straight, like, Bryan Adams, like, Meteor Springsteen kind of thing, kind of like what the Gaslight Anthem are doing in Jersey, or used to be doing. I guess they broke up. They're from Seattle. This is going to be their first time in town. I've been listening to their, like, EP on repeat at work a lot lately. It's just so smooth, so good, so well-crafted. And just straight out of that sort of like big, like 80s, like big production value, like just really well done sort of like a rock ballad, you know. Well, ballad's not the right, just straight, sort of straight rock, you know.
And I, you know, I was interested. I always wanted to hear the influences here. There was the Springsteen-esque kind of voice at the beginning, but, mm-hmm. but then, you know, a reference in the lyrics to back to Rolling Stones or the Wild Horses, you know, that the whole concept predates the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, well, but I mean, there's no real just like straight rock band that doesn't have some sort of minor league obsession with the Rolling Stones. They really kind of invented the idea of the straight rock band. Before that, it was much more tinged with pop, and it was a lot more complicated. They stripped a lot of that away. And then a lot of that got ignored as like production value went up and things got more fancy and glossy. You know, you went from 4-track to 16-track to 24-track to infinite track recording. But that sort of real basis, like verse chorus, let's just, you know, find a couple lines that work and something that resonates with you, that has really endured. You throw in a shaggy haircut and like a little bit of guitar noise and, you know, got that. And these guys are really, I think, blending that, some of that sort of songwriting aesthetic with some of the like 80s rock production value. Like I do hear a lot of Bryan Adams in these guys, and I don't mean that as a bad thing, ignoring his work for the Sherlock, the movie with Kevin Costner, Robin Hood ballad was the worst. It was just terrible. But his, you know, Cuts Like a Knife, Summer 69, like you can hear a lot of that in these guys, you know, like the rockers.
Okay, we'll give Bryan Adams a pass here. So Young in the City at the Brick Room International, it looks like February 10th.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. I mean, I think they're bringing another band with them on tour too, so it's another chance to get two groups that have never come here before. Let's show them a good time, and then they'll come back maybe next February when nothing else is going on.
Okay, but to continue with this February, Jason Achilles Mazzilli, what do you know there?
Oh, so this guy, he's been a session musician in Los Angeles for forever. Just played just about everything, and he finally just sort of struck out on his own. Is like, that's it. Because, you know, being a session musician, you might be able to make good money, but you don't necessarily get to do your passion project. And his big thing is he wanted to put together something, and he wanted to take it on tour, and he was never able to get that together. So he finally gets that together, spends 6 months working on this album, like literally like cutting tape with a razor blade to do everything old school.
Wow.
And he's bringing it out on the road for the first time. He's coming to Medford. I'm pretty excited. It's all instrumental, really interesting stuff. We've got an interview with him in the paper that's coming out this week if you want to read more about it.
But let's hear
from him. Yeah.
vocals at all in Jason's
No, no, it's his
music?
whole album is instrumental. It's just pulling all of his work from being a session player and lots of different instruments. He played everything, did the whole thing himself. So, I mean, this is really like the this is like the passion project of passion projects. He's been working for this one for a long time, and it shows. Like a lot of care and effort went into it.
And he's going to be at the Bamboo Room in Medford, it looks like, on February 12th.
Sunday, February 12th, yeah. The Bamboo Room, bringing in some good shows.
You know, I'm curious. We were talking about the way that you know, people get back to basics. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a pretty regular cycle in rock music of adding layers and then pulling them off again, you know, where you get, like, you know, it's almost like you get calcification or
kinda
too much hairspray or something, and every few years somebody strips it off and gets back to the basics.
I think of it, and this is just my term, I sort of think of it as like a pendulum that swings back and forth between rock and pop. You know, rock being sort of like a raw, more aggressive, like more with edge, and pop being more glossy, more production value, like, you know, more electronic. And you notice that it starts to swing back every decade or so. And it's like, you know, it was like the 70s were the big rock decade. The 60s were pop decade. The 70s were the rock decade. The 80s were the pop decade. The 90s were back to the rock decade. The aughts, we swung into that back into the sort of like pop, where it was like, but there's like more indie pop, chamber pop, that sort of thing. And then we're sort of swinging back towards rock music right now, which I think is pretty cool. But it's nice because it always brings a little bit of what came before with it. So you get this nice blend, you know, like none of the 80s couldn't have happened without the 70s rock,
right.
You know, and the 90s couldn't have happened without the 80s
pop
synthesizer boom. And the aughts couldn't have happened without that, like, sort of hybrid of like punk and underground that happened in the 90s and so on and so forth. And I think it's getting to a really interesting place because it always just brings back a little bit something, you know.
Josh Gross is with us for his monthly visit here on the Jefferson Exchange. Rogue Sounds, we're talking about acts coming to the Rogue Valley. Here's Mike Watt.
Like what?
In a shell of the belly of a hollow man, some cats made it into a kind of body bag. Both legs planted with both for feet, the melancholy face is an analogy.
Is it the stuff that you gravitate to, or is it just that there are a lot of people playing that sort of deeper note string guitar backup?
Well, Mike Watt's a bass player. He's actually kind of like on the list of like bass playing legends, but only within a certain community. Mike Watt was the bass player for a band called the Minutemen, which was a punk band in the early 80s, and they kind of coined the term Jamicano, which basically meant strip away everything. Their songs were rarely more than a minute or 90 seconds long. They toured independently. They did everything all on their own, and they were able to make a career out of it in a way that no one else could, because they really epitomized that idea of Jamicano, like strip everything down. It was kind of a joke because they were driving a Ford Econoline, but it really made sense, and it actually was kind of what gave birth to a lot of the indie rock and DIY movement, was this band's one commitment to doing everything on their own, just as minimalist as possible. And the Minutemen are no longer a thing, but Mike Watt's been touring on his own for a long time, and he always does it pretty much by himself. It's just him in a van and like a pickup band. And this guy's a genuine legend. You'll read about him, guitar player, all the big magazines, because he's been around doing this forever, because he's managed to just make a career out of like not getting bogged down in some of the rock and roll excess, and has ended up being far more successful for it.
Wow. So he's really kept it stripped down. And
yeah. And
really honest.
Right. And he's playing at the Rocky Tonk of all places, which I'm really curious how that came to be, but,
not the usual kind of venue for a guy like Mike Watt.
The Rocky Tonk is a really great place to do line dancing and ride the mechanical bull,
uh-huh,
with a bunch of rowdy roller girls, which has been my experiences there, but maybe you party a little different than I do, I don't know. But he's going to be there on February 24th. He's bringing his band with him. I'm pretty curious to see how that goes. Maybe I'll see you guys there. I don't know.
Okay, Mike Watt at the Rocky Tonk Saloon in Medford on Friday, February 24th. That song was called Hollowed Out Man. Here's a group called The Bones of J.R. Jones.
And wash, you better wash your hands, grab the soap, use your frying pan, 'cause you've been digging down, burying dead. Grass grows tall over things that you wish that you forget.
song is called Sing Sing. It's an interesting sound.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things we were talking about, that swing back and forth from rock to pop. One of the things that I think is the most interesting right now is that you're seeing a lot of acoustic and folk acts that are really pulling their influences much more from the sorts of bands, from like rock and metal bands and like a lot of punk bands. So you're getting like this kind of like evil folk music, as I like to think of it, where it's like where it's pulling those murder ballads. And some of it's interesting is that with some of the original, you know, like the early Delta Blues stuff, there was a lot of like really morose, dark, like folk tale literature, and they're kind of going back to that and pulling that. So you get like, instead of just like, you know, banjo sitting on my knee, they're just like, I killed my old lady and left her down and thing. And you're like, oh, this is, I don't support your words, but I'm much more interested in this as a piece of literature and as like a sound. It really brings you much more in. And I love what this guy's doing. It's just got that real dark sound, and you know, I feel like that's the kind of folk music that oftentimes comes from like a background in, you know, like heavier rock or more underground rock music.
So people will make the transition from rock to folk instead of just in the other direction.
Oh, it's almost universal, and part of it's just, I think people start playing a lot of, there's actually almost like a 90% exchange rate now where like all of the old punk bands are now playing in alt country groups because partially because they're like, oh man, I can't keep this up, it's just too aggressive, I gotta like scale it back a little bit. But she's, you know, see like Mike Ness from Social Distortion was a big leader of it, and he was kind of like leaning that way. But just a lot of it is, if you just turn down the distortion on the guitar, you basically end up with the same thing. It's like three chords and a melody and something that you feel you need to say, and that's really kind of what a country song is too. And it works really, really well to sort of transfer that. And you see, it's just like, oh, there's a lot of groups where they get that real same pattern, that the boop bop boop bop boop bop boop, you know. And it works really well with big heavy guitar behind it. It works really well with a little banjo behind it, you know. But it's still, you can, the songs can transfer really, really well, and that kind of like gritty personality ends up, you know, having a lot of travel as well.
Well, that's the Bones of J.R. Jones, yeah. February 23rd at the Hall in Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. And another one here is Cambrian Explosion.
Cambrian Explosion.
So no sooner had we talked about taking the distortion off than get to these guys who
fuzz pedals
on.
Yeah, these guys, oh man. So Cambrian Explosion started a couple years ago up in Portland. Shortly afterwards, pot was legalized. I'm not saying they're directly connected, I'm just saying they brought back psych rock in a serious way. Now there was a Portland psych rock fest for a while, and these guys are like one of the top acts in it. They're best described as magical wizards of sound. Their shows are supposed to be pretty legendary. I'm pretty excited they're coming down here.
So when we talk about psychedelic rock, what are some of the basic elements, that are the required elements?
Psych rock is largely, it was largely, like many others, have based around kind of like blues. But I mean, one, it's usually very loud. Mm-hmm. Two, there's usually a lot of reverb, specifically usually a lot of spring reverb. And a lot of sort of like sounds that kind of like blend. The melodies aren't always like really clearly defined. Sometimes they're a little more blend together, a little more blurry. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what makes for the style. It's much more about a sort of general vibe, an atmosphere, and a groove, and a just sort of big feeling that you get in, like a sort of like feeling of sort of like, ooh,
sort of like a wall of sound has to be kind of present,
a wall of sound, and also just in there. And there's something about kind of like breaking down some of the sort of like the neat barriers. Like they tend to be less like verse chorus based, and much more kind of like droning or like riff based, so it can go for like a longer periods of time with you know, where you get into that groove and you kind of becomes like a rhythm and you sort of like get kind of lost in it. Basically, that's the big thing. It's something that you want to get, that you get lost in, and you get lost in it from either the sounds blending together, from just getting sucked into the vibe, or from, you know, there just sort of being like a lot of reverb and things kind of like meshing together a little bit.
And so this is a Cambrian Explosion again, Saturday, February 18th at Johnny B's. Where's that?
Johnny B's is in the old Macy's building in Medford. That's in like the premier. That's actually the Southern Oregon's longest running music club.
Really? Okay. So yeah. Johnny B. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, the old Woolworths building. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Woolworths. Okay. Not Macy's.
All right. So we're apparently going to leave with the Bones of J.R. Jones for a recap. And again, February 23rd at the Hall in Grants Pass.
Yep.
Another good lineup of stuff coming.
It's good stuff.
To get around. Josh Gross, always good to talk to you. Josh Gross is the music editor at the Rogue Messenger, and he joins us for Rogue Sounds once a month. Our dose of gross, as I like to say.
Gross. Oh, boy. Let's hope that doesn't stick.
Thanks for coming in.
Right,
good to
thanks.
See you. And thank you for listening to the Jefferson Exchange today. Our producer is Emily Curitan. She's at the control at the moment with our student assistant Darnell Willison. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Mama's been slaving in her kitchen all day.
Be sure to wipe the filth from your shoes. No one around here wants to know what you've been up to.